Senator Mansfield.
Oh, yes, Mr. President.
Oh, Mike, I just wanted to tell you that I'm very grateful for your statement that you made on our proposal the other night, and I can assure you that we'll keep hammering away on it and do everything that we can to try to get it, you know, to get some progress.
Yes.
And also, I am not as pessimistic as some with regard to what can happen on it. I think that what my own judgment is that they are going to have another little pop. It might be a very good pop, but in the February-March period. But then at that time, they have to make a very big decision. Are they just going to sit here and continue, or are they going to negotiate? And it's at that time, I think that we want to have on the table a very forthcoming offer, which they will, in good conscience, be able to accept. So our intention is to keep it on the front burner and front and center and do just as well as we possibly can. I can assure you that it hasn't. I noticed some fellows, and I understand the politics and the rest, they seem to think that maybe we just put this out for political purposes and it didn't mean anything. But as you know, you remember when we had breakfast a couple of times, I told you we were doing a few things, and you know, I just said, and you know that we're just doing our best, that was all, and maybe it's different, but it's the best we know how.
Well, I know, and it's a good best because it's under the most difficult circumstances, and like you, I don't think Hanoi has closed the door all the way.
No, sir.
That's the important
part. Well, they may, you see, we've got the, now one other thing we're doing here is this, that and this was the only risk of putting this out, as I saw it, and I had a long, soul-searching talk with both Bill Rogers and Henry before on this point. I said, well, now, if we put this out, does this mean that they will not talk secretly again? We do not think so. We believe that that's one of the reasons that I have not let Henry, of course, he didn't ask to do it, but I've said, now, do not put out the whole record of the conversations. All you can do is to put out the fact, the fact of what we offered and what they turned down, because both sides said things in those conversations that went further than this, as you might well guess, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but we're protecting that confidentiality, because in the final analysis, these kinds of things are usually, as you know, they're settled by secret as well as public things, but there's got to be, remember, World War I, World War II, everything, there's always a sense. So we've got that open. Now, a couple other things for your own information you should know. We're in very close touch. Now, we would deny it if it were said, with the Chinese on this situation.
Oh, good.
We are in very close touch with the Russians on it. Now, I am, of course, praying that it will not be an issue by the time we get toward Russia.
Yes.
I am convinced that if it is, they then will move. But they have not been helpful up to this point. But my point is, if it's that's awful late, but I must say that on this proposal, we informed, in addition to everybody else we informed both the Russians, Breen, of course, here through our channel, and the Chinese through a special channel, well in advance. So there, we're going down that road as hard as we can.
That's good going.
But not putting them on the public spot, because
right.
If we ever said we were doing it publicly, you know, some of our fellows, they don't know any better, but they say, well, why don't you say you're doing something with the Chinese?
Sure.
Well, the moment you do that, they each have got to claim that we're in colluding with the enemy. You know, that's it.
No, I think you're just right.
One other brief thing. On the 17th, and we'll be in touch with you later at this, but before we go off on the Peking thing, I'll have to leave on the 17th to be there in order to get the time clock turned around, and then we're going to stay a night in Hawaii and a night in Guam. But on the 17th, I would like to have a bipartisan leaders breakfast here at the White House. That's a Wednesday, the 17th.
Fine.
If you think well of it. And then just to sit down and go over everything that we plan to talk about, you know what I mean, as freely as we can, And then, of course, then we'll, when we come back, we'll repeat. So does that sound like a good
sounds
proposition?
Good. And I'm leaving early.
Yeah. Well, the reason I am is that we sent the advance parties over. It's a very interesting thing. And of 24 people that went, it had been on, 18 got sick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were sick from fatigue and hours and so forth, but they all recommended to be sure to spend, not, in other words, not to just go all out. They said, you got to be there in shape for these talks, because the talks are interminable, apparently.
Oh, yes. They drag them out in the morning.
They go on, and the Russians, I know, are that way. So they thought that I'd better go to Hawaii first, and I'm going to go there and spend the whole day and a night.
Good.
Then to Guam, a whole day and a night, and then fly over to Peking the next day.
Good.
Hoping to be in reasonably, because I... the talks go on for 4 days. That'll be that's the real energy. After that, I got to visit these other two cities. Now, the other thing I want you to know too is that I'm going to take up directly with them. If you'd like to work with them, as the thing we've talked about before.
Yes.
I think that whenever your schedule will permit I would say that we ought to have a top. And I'm going to suggest that you would like to go and that Hugh Scott would like to go. They aren't going to take numbers. And I'm going to ask them about that now. Put it to them directly. We think they will be very, very receptive to the idea. So we'll throw that in if you have no objection.
I certainly do not, Mr. President.
Yeah, fine. Because I know you've always wanted to go. And yes, I have. Yeah. Okay. Fine, Mike. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. President. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.